Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Christ the King. If we have not met, my name is Ashley. I am the priest and pastor here, and we are, as always, thrilled to have you with us for church this morning. It's so good to get to worship together. What a gift. And maybe especially today, because we have a very special guest with us this morning, Dr. Christina Edmondson is here and going to be preaching from 1 John. I'm thrilled for a lot of reasons, but not the least of which is because I had the opportunity to hear Dr. Edmondson yesterday at the Fayetteville Public Library. She's an author, a speaker, and an educator, co-host currently of a podcast as well. It's called Truth's Table, and most recently the author of a book called Faithful Anti-Racism. And so yesterday at the Fayetteville Public Library, we gathered a pretty good group of us, actually, in our library to talk about. I was so proud of my sister, because it was a really rare space to both talk very seriously about issues of justice and y'all preach about sin, which this woman did there in the middle of the library. And so it was like one of those really rare coming together moments where we get to be serious-minded about the things that are broken and not as they should be in the world, and also talk about the lordship of Jesus and his resurrection and why it matters. And so we have, for the last couple of weeks in this Easter season, we're talking about new creation, what it means to be, what Jesus came to do, why the resurrection matters. And part of that is the resurrection is about a new creation, that God's trying to set right what sin made wrong. And so that's what Christina's work is about and what our like worshiping and preaching and living for Jesus is about. And so we're honored to have you here with us this morning. So, you know, we'll clap for Jesus and for Christina all at the same time. We'll all clap for everybody. All right.
I'm going to use my body to hold this laptop. So if I'm standing particularly close to the podium, you know why. That's why I'm doing that, okay? Well, let us reflect on the word of the Lord together. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when he is revealed, we will be like him. For we will see him as he is. And all who have this hope in him purify themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. Everyone who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Well, I want to thank Pastor Matthews and the leaders and congregants of your very sweet church for this invitation to worship with you and to open God's word together this morning. I also pray that the Lord would bless this community that is seeking to embody the good news of Jesus with the whole of your lives for the sake of others. Now that's on your website, so you should know it by heart, okay? If it sounds familiar, I didn't make it up. It's literally on your website, okay? And so I confess that, but I want to start with another confession as well this morning. And if it's your confession too, you're welcome to just get free this morning. Let's be free together. I want to start with this confession. For a short period of my life, I was a reality TV show watcher. I mean, I was all the way in, y'all. My husband, who is here this morning, was both a witness and at times a participant. The truth will set us free. And I used to think that it all started with maybe season one of Survivor, you know, with the vegans and the carnivores fighting about whether or not they were going to kill that chicken. Or maybe it was season one of American Idol. I still believe that Tamira Gray was robbed. Justice now. But when I really think about it, for my generation, one that was not quite raised by iPhones, but rather MTV and BET, that it was the real world New York City that was the true starting point of this infamous genre that I was addicted to. I know that I'm not alone. Some of you are among us this morning. Maybe it's The Bachelorette for you. Maybe it's Love at First Sight. Maybe it's still at the 100th season of American Idol. What's your guilty pleasure? And before I got off this reality TV show watching bus, I found myself delighted by one last reality series franchise. It combined the reality element, or the so-called reality, because we know it's made up, y'all know. Music and performance all were in this genre, and the show was called So You Think You Can Dance. Oh yes, So You Think You Can Dance. And I must admit that I was intrigued by that title. It's just an audacious provocation. You think you can dance? Are you really a dancer? For real, for real. Can you really Cupid shuffle? You know, wedding season is upon us, and you might want to go home and work on that wobble, you know? Well, the So You Think You Can Dance episode one was followed by a season of seeing just how great these dancers were and would become over time. The season finale ended with a solid, flat-footed answer to the question in that title, So You Think You Can Dance? With a clear, yes, yes, I can. I imagine that we as Christians can relate to this feeling, being questioned about our identity and performance in Christ. A questioning that might be internal for us, an accusing voice, or maybe an external voice saying, so you think you're a Christian over there? As we feel the real insecurities of the failings of the church, and our own inadequacies as a friend, as a family member, as a colleague, as a neighbor. We hear through our insecure hearts more than we would like to admit, so you think you're a Christian? Followed by a lifetime of missteps, injuries, and maybe a rare miraculous twirl and split. The original hearers of 1 John likewise wrestled with these same kinds of thoughts and questions. John wrote to churches with folks that struggled with discouragement. Maybe there are people in here who know what it means to struggle with discouragement. This discouragement from their own sinful failures, or the presence of false teachers among them, leading them astray. Commentaries propose that the aging apostle hoped to stir a holy zeal within those in this local church, and maybe within us today, that are discouraged and are insecure believers, creating a holy zeal so that we might cling more closely to Christ and the way of Christ, standing firm against voices within and without, sowing discord among the believers and chipping away at our deep sense of Christ-given assurance. The Apostle John, the assumed author of this text, hoped that they would embrace their blood-bought peace given by Christ's completed work, allowing them to stand firm or dance well, looking to their ending reality show episode where they can emphatically say yes to the question. So you think you're a Christian? Oh, yes. Thanks be to Christ. People tempted by false teaching, true persecution, the voice of the accuser within, their own history of pain and trauma and shame, were real in the early church, and they're real in here this morning. Maybe you have an unseen or unknown weariness and doubt that you carry today, this morning, even while dressed in your Sunday best. I invite you again to listen closely to these inspired words from 1 John 3, 1 through 7. Hear them as a gift from God to you, O weary one. the one with the voice that says, "Are you really a Christian? See what great love the Father has given us. See it. That we should be called God's children. And we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it didn't know him. Dear friends, we are God's children now. And what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies themselves, just as he is pure. Everyone who commits sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins. And there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous." Verses 1-3. This morning, I want to offer us three thoughts beginning here about God's transforming love in this passage. Point one, God calls us to spiritually see his love for us, and don't you ever forget it. Insecure Christians look to the secure love of God. This is what the insecure Christian must do. Not look to ourselves, not look to our neighbor, not look to our culture or family history, but look to the secure love of God alone. Remember the proven track record of God's great love for us. The opening verses call us to see what great love the Father has for us, to see it even now in our mind's eye. I invite you this morning to see God's love for you. Can you? A love that knits you together in your mother's womb. A love that persisted through exile, persecution, doubts, trauma, church scandals, generations and across continents to get to you. A love that came to earth and lived a perfect life that you couldn't live on your behalf. A love that bore the weight of sin and shame on the cross so that you might be set free. Can you see it? Can you see it with your spiritual eyes this morning? How deep the Father's love for us, how vast beyond all measure. Believers struggle, y'all, with spiritual amnesia. And so just like in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, and right now, the Spirit is prompting us to remember God's glorious works of love on our behalf. Works of rescue, revelation, and transformation. Works that cause us to rest in what Christ has done for us versus living our lives obsessed with what we are doing and how well we are doing it. The text goes on to remind us that this love that we are called to see with our spiritual eyes and remember to reflect on, to focus on, and name, it is a love that calls us by name, and it names us the children of God. A love that identifies us and identifies with us. I want to remind you that God's love is persistent, and even maybe especially when we feel most uncertain and unattached and untethered, that we need a reminder that we are, you are, I am God's child. So you think you're a Christian? Oh, yes, I am a child of God. Thanks be to God for a love that claims and names us. So count your blessings this morning. Name them one by one. See what God has done. Receive the promises of God, oh child of God, this morning. So God calls us to see and reflect on his love for us. But check this out. As if that's not enough to be called a child of God, we are not only God's child in name. Point two, God calls us to follow him and become like him. I know it doesn't feel like it, but we're actually becoming more like God. Because God says so. Not because we said so, because God said so. Just the other day, I had a pretty common experience, which is someone telling me how my beautiful daughters look like my husband. You have made very beautiful daughters. In fairness, over time, people tell me, as they squint or turn the pictures to the side or upside down, that they do in some way look like me as well. And as a parent, an adoptive parent, or a spiritual parent in this room today, we secretly love some expression of resemblance to our children, to those who we are influencing and raising and shaping or in proximity to. In time, as we follow Christ, the Holy Spirit causes us to resemble more and more of Jesus. We become wiser. We grow in humility. We show the family resemblance in how we love and forgive others. Our speech sounds like it's under the influence of our Heavenly Father. And I know that many of us feel our sense of inadequacies or spiritual numbness or weariness more than the Spirit's sanctification working through us at times. We, in many ways, are like the milk carton plant project that I did in elementary school. Maybe you had this experience. We got milk during lunch, and the teacher told us to save the milk cartons. And so we did that. The good old days when I could drink whole milk. And things have changed in my life. But we took that little carton and some kind of random seeds. I really don't remember what that seed was to grow. And we put dirt inside that box. And we placed it in the windowsill of the classroom. Maybe if you're a child of the 80s and 90s, you know what I'm talking about. Each day we ran to the window to record any sign of growth on our little chart. And for what felt like too many days, we observed a small box of unimpressive dirt. And I must tell you, in life, sometimes we feel like a small box of unimpressive dirt. A box of unimpressive, boring dirt. But it was placed somewhere to receive light. And it was placed somewhere to receive water day by day. And unbeknownst to us, under the surface, growth was indeed happening. A growth below the surface that was necessary for the true observable growth above the surface to happen. Remember this. Growth is happening, even if you can't see it. Dear friends, hear the text. We are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet been revealed. We know that when he appears, we will be like him because we will see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. So who do you look like? Are you bearing the resemblance of one who has been born again? One day, without the need to squint or to turn the picture sideways, in the twinkling of an eye, we will see Jesus and we will be like him. The resemblance will be overwhelming. We're not talking about a resemblance rooted in eye color or hair texture, but rather the quality of our love and our embrace of the way of Christ. God's transformative love does not make us lawless and unjust, but rather loving and honest and generous. We become deeply grateful to God and merciful towards others and compassionate to even ourselves as our sanctified roots that we can't see in that pile of dirt grow deeper and deeper and deeper by the power of the Holy Spirit. Even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. He is our way maker. He is our miracle worker. He is our promise keeper, our light in the darkness. So God calls us to see his love for us. God calls us to follow him and become like him. And finally, God calls us to resist sin. And this can keep us busy because, you know, we got a lot of sin. Everyone who commits sin practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. You know that he has revealed so that he might take away sins. You know that he was revealed so that he might take away sins. And there is no sin in him. Everyone who remains in him does not sin. Everyone who sins has not seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. I know that when I, or maybe you, hear these verses, we become afraid. As I look at my own failures, my own sin, but then I am reminded that Jesus has taken away my sin, past, future, and present. Oh, the scandal of grace, that we are called to remain in the sinless one who takes away our sin. Don't get me wrong, unrepentant sin is indeed incompatible with a relationship with God. But there are a lot of people that are together that are incompatible. Daily, we are called to follow Jesus, and daily, we become more like the one we follow. We follow this Jesus until we see him face to face and we become like him. And in remaining in Jesus and in following Jesus, we find that we are becoming more like this Jesus, even if all we can see is that milk carton of dirt right now. Ephesians 4, 22 through 24 reads, "You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds," because we got to think differently, "and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness, justice doing and set apart living." 1 Peter 2, 24 says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." How then are we called to live in light of this command to resist sin? We live as those united with Christ, the sinless one. Union with Christ, remaining in Jesus, offers innumerable gifts to us, innumerable benefits to us, including a new way of seeing and thinking and being, and even a community. Where we end up in this life is tied to who we are following in this life. Who we follow shapes and informs who we are becoming. Believe and follow the way of Jesus Christ. Love each other deeply. False teachers and false teaching in our weary hearts are asking people to call it quits on the Christian community and the way of Christ. Resist this and remain in Jesus. You are the children of God. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who does what is right is righteous, just as he is righteous. True believers, even if we look like a box of dirt in the windowsill right now, have the Spirit, confessing that Jesus has indeed come in the flesh. True believers bear fruit, albeit hard to see at times, and it can feel like a dreadfully long wait to manifest. It is coming. As sure as that peculiar plant that eventually sprouted in my elementary school class. True believers, those who are resting in Christ's finished work, resisting sin within and injustice without, are the children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. So, when in doubt, when in weariness, and y'all, I'm tired, when in confusion, this world is wild, when in temptation at every turn, when crowded by the voices of the naysayers, including your own, recall, rest, and resist. Recall, rest, and resist. Recall Christ's completed resurrection work in ministry of intercession even now for you. Recall it. Rest. Rest in the assurance that we will become fully one day sooner than you know it and are becoming right now like the one that we follow. And resist. Resist sin, our own and the injustices of this world. Children of God, he has told each of you what is good and what it is that the Lord requires of you to act justly, to love faithfulness, and to walk humbly with your God. Walking with him in loving community until all is revealed. Amen and amen. Gracious and merciful God, we thank you, Lord, for today's new mercies. And we thank you that you have given us a name, the children of God. We thank you, O Lord, that as we remain in you, as we rest in you, we will be empowered by the Spirit to resist sin and to rest in your completed work. It is in Christ's name that we pray and give thanks through worship in our lives. Amen and amen.